If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to please open up once again to the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter. Well, we're going to pick up our study tonight in the third chapter, beginning with verse 1. As Peter has come through this second chapter, he has talked about some various elements of submission. And he has talked about the fact that we need to be submissive as citizens. He has talked about the fact that we need to be submissive to the Lord in areas of business, as employers, as employees, that type of thing. And now he's going to get super personal, and he's going to tell us that we need to be submissive in the areas of marriage. I find it very interesting that the area of marriage is what Christ views his relationship with the church as. The church is the bride of Christ. And as a husband, he wants his bride to be pure. He wants his bride to be faithful. He wants his bride to be holy. He wants his bride to be submissive. And, you know, it's very much the same way in the human institution of marriage as well, which, by the way, was instituted by God. And regardless of what the Supreme Court says this week, by the way, you might want to pray for our Supreme Court because the Supreme Court is going to be addressing the issue of homosexual marriage. Folks, this is a pivotal issue with the survival of our nation. And we need to be praying for those Supreme Court justices, that they will take into consideration not the pressures of society, but the sanctity of the marriage relationship. I have no idea what direction our Supreme Court's going to go on this. But I do know the position that God makes. And the position of God is that marriage is a man and a woman for a lifetime. Not a man and a man, not a woman and a woman, not a man and a goat. None of that. And so it's vitally important that we pray, because the moral structure of our nation is at stake. I know that people criticize when we don't submit to the world's positions on the issue of homosexuality, because there's so much pressure coming from all different directions. But the truth of the matter is, the Word of God is strong on this issue, and we need to remain strong on this issue as well. We can't give in. We can't compromise. And so we must pay close attention. Now, let's look at 1 Peter, beginning at chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. He has talked again about submission in various areas, and now he's moving into the area of marriage, and he says this: "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. As they observe your pure," or your chaste and respectful, "behavior." You know, this is important. Back, it's been quite a few years ago now, but when the women's movement began to really get a foothold, and I'm going to tell you, folks, and I don't care if I'm a bigot or what you want to say. It doesn't matter to me. But the truth of the matter is, the women's movement did more to destroy marriage in this country than any other movement. It really did. The women's movement as well is anti-biblical. And it's important that we realize that it is God who established the whole concept of marriage, and it was He who set up the boundaries and how things ought to be. And as Peter is talking about this, he is the one who brings in the issue of submission. Ladies, you are not the authority in your home. Understand that. You are not the authority. A woman who is going to be a truly godly woman will be submissive to her husband. And that's vitally important for us to understand. And I know that grates against modern day society. But you tell me how much better off is the relationship of the family today with this independent mindset of women as compared to what it used to be? Is the American family better off today than it was in the 50s? Or even in the early 60s? No, it's not better off. I received a few comments about an article that I put in the paper. Some of them very supportive. Some of them not so much so. Because society has so destroyed the simple lifestyle that it is ridiculous. And the church has bought the lies. And that frustrates me. And I'm not talking about this congregation exclusively. I'm talking about the church. The church is no longer the moral voice of our nation. Hollywood is. And whatever Hollywood says and declares, that's what our young people follow. And it's wrong. We have lost our moral compass because we have compromised on every issue. And the issue of homosexuality is one of those. Just one. The whole issue of wives not being submissive to their husbands is another one. The whole issue of husbands not loving their wives and being faithful to them is another one. Because once again, who sets those standards of morals? It's no longer the church, but it's Hollywood. The church has got to return to the plan of God. It must. And you know, if we will follow the biblical mandate of marriage, men will love their wives as Christ loved the church and treat her with dignity and honor and respect, as Peter talks about here in a few moments. And women will respond in submission to their husbands as unto Christ. And our children will grow up with insecure homes Folks, I'm going to tell you, there are things said by husbands and wives in the presence of their children that is horrible. And that's what kids grow up with. And it happens in Christian homes too. It's time for people to get right with Jesus Christ and to follow God's plan. Now look at what Peter says here. He says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. If you have engaged yourself, have placed yourself in a marriage with a non-believer, you have only one hope, and it's not get out of the marriage. You have only one hope, and that is to model Jesus Christ in front of that husband so that he sees the purity of your relationship with Jesus Christ, and that becomes the convicting agent that God begins to use. It's vitally important. So that you have an opportunity to win your husband to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says here. So that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your pure and respectful behavior. Pure and respectful. Pure and respectful is not calling your husband an idiot and a moron. That's not pure and respectful. One of the comments that I had this past week, was, Pastor Lynn, it sounds like you want everybody to be like Ozzie and Harriet. Well, I'm sorry, what would be so bad? A husband that deeply loved his wife, a wife who deeply loved her husband, and they respected each other. That's a horrible thing. And I asked this individual at Walmart. That's where I happened to run into him, was in Walmart. And I asked them in Walmart, can you honestly tell me that the American family is in better condition today than it was when Ozzie and Harriet were visible in our homes? Is the family better off? No, it's not. It is not better off. We must submit ourselves to the plan of God in marriage. I have gotten to the point where I hate to do weddings. I'm telling you, and I've told people before, I'd rather bury somebody than marry them. And I mean that just as sincerely as I can, because I'm sick and tired of people sitting through premarital counseling sessions and lying. And then going out and living contrary to what the Word of God teaches. I'm sick of it. And I have really cut back on doing weddings because of that. Because I don't want to take part and have a part in people's lying. I'm sorry. I don't. Now look at this. Look at verse 3. And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Which is precious. A gentle and a quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. The writer of the Proverbs, one of the writers of Proverbs, I'm not sure which one, because there's several of the Proverbs are written by several different things. But one of the writers in Proverbs says, it's better to dwell in the corner of a rooftop than in a whole wide house with a brawling woman. It's in the Bible, check it out. An arrogant, demanding, commanding woman does not exhibit the spirit that Jesus Christ wants in a marriage. And I'll tell you, it's not the spirit that Jesus Christ wants in His bride either. And that becomes important. Now, you'll notice that Peter does not say that a woman shouldn't look attractive for her husband. All right? Which is another thing that burns my toast. Women will make themselves attractive for everybody on the outside and look like they got hit by the lawnmower for their husbands. I'm sorry? I'm sorry, but it's just wrong. It's just wrong. A woman should be looking the best for her husband than she does for anybody else. And so he's not saying, look, don't look good for your husband. But he's saying, don't merely look good for your husband. Notice how he says it. He says, do not let your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, and putting on dresses. He's not saying those things are wrong. But he's saying, look, if that's just what beauty is to you, is what's on the outside, you're missing the whole point of what should be on the inside. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden person of the heart. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Folks, submission is what wins people to Jesus Christ. Look at what he says. For in this way, in former times, do you get the idea that Peter's looking back to his Ozzie and Harriet days? I think so. See, that kind of thing hasn't changed. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Thus, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Notice, little L. All right? The word Lord here does not mean Savior. Or does it have capital L? All right? The word Lord here means highly respected and honored. That's what the word Lord here means. And Sarah looked at Abraham and she obeyed him and she called him highly respected, highly favored. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Submissive, and you will be blessed. Now, verse 7. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel. Wow. Peter never considered the fact that that the year 2013 would ever come. Because those are fighting words, man, in today's world. Women, a weaker vessel. It's the intention that God made. It is. And you know what? It's time that we submit to that and realize that God's got it right, not us. You husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way. As with a weaker vessel. Since she is a woman. Again, not since that spouse is a man. Husbands. All right. Husbands here is not ladies. If that husband is another woman, doesn't say that. He is correlating the genuineness of marriage to a husband and wife, to a male husband and a female wife. Nothing else. And so it's important that we stand behind that. And it's important that we realize what God is saying, since she is a woman. And grant, and look at this, grant her honor. Treat her with respect. Treat her with reverence, if you will, as the weaker vessel, but with honor, as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Fellas, when we don't honor our wife and treat her with the dignity and the respect that God expects of us, our prayers go no higher than the ceiling. Really don't. Boy, does Peter ever meddle. To sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. Parents, do you want your home to be blessed by God? Then you treat husbands and wives, you treat each other with dignity, with respect, with honor. Husbands, you watch over your family, because I'm going to tell you, you're the one responsible for the spiritual upbringing of your children. You are the one who are to be teaching and training your kids, not the Sunday school teacher. Do you know that that Sunday school teacher should only be supporting what you have taught in the home? And husbands, that's your responsibility. Yours. And you are to love your wife and treat her with dignity and respect in front of those children all the time. Ladies, you are to respect your husband. You are to be submissive, gentle-spirited, and kind if you want to have the blessing of God in your family. And if you're not willing to do that, you're literally asking for problems. This is such a sensitive area. But it's such a needed thing in our lives. I fear. I'll use it that way. I fear for our children in this despicable, godless country that we live in. I fear for them. And most of that fear comes because I don't see parents being parents. I don't see husbands being husbands. I don't see wives being wives. I see constant struggles with husbands and wives for control. But it's a rare, rare marriage where you're able to see a husband and wife love and respect one another. And I'm scared to death anymore to even do a wedding. I'll be absolutely honest with you. Scared to death. And I pray earnestly, repeatedly, continually for those who are getting married. Bethany, I pray for you and Phil every day. Every day. Because you guys are getting married and going into a godless society that doesn't even like your marriage. Doesn't even like it. You need the prayers, and the support, and the encouragement of your church family. Believe me, I know. And you know, it's that way with our society anymore. If you do what's right, you are criticized and you are condemned, even by the church. Because I know that when some go out of this hall tonight, some of them are going to be saying, "Well, boy, is that guy a dinosaur?" Yeah, I are. Look at verses 10 through 12. "For let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." See, that's what it boils down to, folks. We will either do things right by doing things God's way and have His blessing, or we'll do things wrong and the curse of God's going to fall. Our nation is in a world of hurt because we have allowed pure evil to take control. And I'm going to tell you what, that's not the problem in Washington, it's the problem in the pews. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's time for the church to get right with God. As the church goes, so goes the nation. But we're so afraid of being called a bigot that we're afraid to speak out. We must speak, preach, teach the truth. We must live the truth and live honorably in front of our children and our grandchildren. We must do things God's way if there's to ever be any hope. Without God, we as a nation are damned. time to get right. Let's stand. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this is pretty tough stuff. And we know it. But Lord, you have placed these things in your word through your anointing because our following your word is the only thing that's going to bring any hope to this nation. Lord, our government has demonstrated they can't handle finances. How in the world are they going to handle our families? So, Father, I pray that somehow this message of honor in marriage will so impact our families that there'll be hope. Lord, teach us to respect what you have declared in your word. Teach us to honor what you have declared in your word. Teach us to be faithful to what you have declared in your word. Teach us every moment to honor you and to honor one another. Father, I pray for every husband in this room that you would help them to stand up and become the spiritual leaders they need to become. I pray for every wife in this room that they will submit to their own husbands as your word declares and live honorably with a peaceful and gentle spirit before their husband. Father, I pray for every parent in this room that they will honor God and give their kids some semblance of a hope. I pray for every young person in this room that they will honor their position in the family and in you and give our nation a cause for hope. Now, Father, this week, we celebrate the hope of salvation. Let our hearts and our minds be focused upon you. Let our hearts and our minds be focused upon your love and your grace, your care and your kindness. Let our hearts and our minds be focused on your honor so that we can be the bride who is faithful to you, the bride that brings a smile to your face and not pain to your heart. For it's in your glorious and holy and righteous name we pray all of these things. Amen.